Hello, I'm John Wilson. Thank you for downloading this edition of Master Tapes from BBC Radio 4. Welcome to Master Tapes and to Soul playing and dancing their way through Back to Life from their 1989 album Club Classics Volume 1. It was their debut album, a statement of intent that became a soundtrack for the times. Club Classics Volume 1 also included Jazzy's Groove, Fair Play and Keep On Moving. This edition of Master Tapes will tell the story of the making of Club Classics Volume 1, but will also take us back to a very specific time and place. The album was created in London in the late 1980s and took a uniquely British sound to a worldwide audience. The guiding voice on that musical journey from warehouse parties to top of the charts was Jazzy B. Jazzy, welcome to Master Tapes.
Great, thanks for having us.
But Soul to Soul is a sound system, a musical collective, crowded together here on the stage at BBC Maida Vale Studios. And with us today are some of those people who appeared on the album nearly 25 years ago. Ellen Blair of the Reggae Philharmonic Orchestra is on violin. Simon Law is on keyboards. Both of them were on the album. We also have Adrian McKenzie on drums, Kashka Tafari on guitar, Chris Brown on bass, Gillian Morley on violin, and Emma Louise Buchner, Samantha Pennells, and Jodie Finley on backing vocals. And Jose Joyette on percussion, and along with the band, we have the singer whose voice was heard on the hits Back to Life and Keep On Moving. Ladies and gentlemen, Karen Wheeler's here. Cozy up for Jazzy. Karen, welcome to Master Tapes and
Lovely
Jazzy.
To be here.
First of all, set the scene for us, if you would. Soul to Soul started out not in the recording studio, but in the clubs, and it was very much a social scene before it was a set of artists or a business, even.
I lived and breathed the whole experience from the wardrobe, speakers and sound systems, which I guess was my biggest inspiration.
When you say the wardrobe speakers, you mean you were building your own speakers that were big enough to pump out the bass?
Yeah, it was totally. I mean, the sound system is synonymous with most people from the Caribbean in terms of our community. That was literally the voice of the community. We decided to change our concept of the sound system, and instead of being exclusive, we decided to become inclusive, which basically meant we face our audience when we were playing out with the sound system.
Well, rather than having you sort of back in the wall,
that's
in the
right.
corner of the room.
That's
as
right.
Like an exclusive club. So you were there putting yourself in the centre of the room when you were playing. And these were sort of, what sort of clubs were you playing? What sort of venues?
Well, you would have
when
started.
When you first started.
When we first started, we're talking about christenings and the church parties. You know, used to go off to like Bournemouth or Clacton-on-Sea and stuff. That was my first, other than playing for the street party.
And what year was the first sound system you put on, do you think?
We're talking in the 70s. We're talking 76, 77 was the Jubilee, and it really took flight from there, because it was almost like, if I could do this in the street, and a couple of my brothers seemed to be impressed, the fact that my amps lasted that long. And I think this is where the birth of the business thing started, because you could take the money and run, or you could make your sound better.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, at that time, we were always worried about our amplifiers overheating, and halfway through the dance, the thing would just collapse.
Oh, dear. Of course, Soul to Soul now, we think, is very much a musical melting pot in terms of the sounds, and the clue is in the name as well. So you're mixing up a lot of the kind of the funk beats with the soul vocals. But really, back in the day when you were first starting running the sound systems, was it a reggae system?
We were traditionally a sound system, a reggae sound system.
Yeah.
And every reggae person would know this. We used to do a residency at a club in Junction Road called Dougie's Hideaway, and that was on a Thursday night.
Hang on, Karen's saying she remembers that.
Really?
Were you around there then, Karen?
I was doing a lot of Lovers Rock stuff on a, you know, Brown Sugar business. It's like a trio, vocal trio, female trio we had.
And you were in Aphrodisiac as well, weren't you?
Aphrodisiac, yeah, I was doing backgrounds. When I met him, I was doing backgrounds. But before that, was writing songs.
You sang with the Jam as well, didn't you?
Jam, Elvis Costello, Phil Collins, Al Jones. It could go on, and like Erasure, loads of people.
So did you know of Jazzy? Did you know of the sound system?
Never heard of it.
No, he had no rep at the time. While you were making big waves in the business.
Well, I was just doing background, one, two, you know. So I was happy to be on stage and just going around the world free. And it was just fabulous. And right. They treated me right. So I stayed and got more money. You know, it's fun.
I first came across you, Jazzy, when you were used to run shops in Camden Town and market stalls.
That's
and this
right.
is in the late 80s. Uh-huh. And then there was a very famous club when you started at the Africa Centre in Covent Garden. At what point did it become Soul to Soul? When were the change of the name and became a brand very much?
Yeah, you see, even the idea of a brand, we were oblivious to all of that because for us it was truly just a way of life. Going back to the name of Soul to Soul, when we used to play at Dougie's, one time he came out and he sort of said, you know, you've got to broaden your horizon because you're just playing this style of music.
Which was what, reggae at the time?
Which was mainly like Lovers Rock
and,
you know, British reggae. He wanted us to play Calypso and stuff. But because I was into Bowie and stuff like that, I decided to play a Ziggy Stardust track and, oh God, Elton John's first, Benny and the Jets.
Yeah. Dun. You would mix up that sort of stuff, the mainstream rock sounds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those tunes, for me at that time, they've got the groove. They've got melody, you know. All of those things are influences, particularly in Club Classics Volume 1.
Sure.
You will hear nuances of all of those sort of sounds and everything that I was into. The idea of the shops and the market, it started off at the market stalls and the shops and stuff. We were knocking out records. We were making our own clothes and stuff like that.
And you were running what would now be regarded as pop-up shops. Because
right,
they used
yeah.
to pop up anywhere,
yeah.
didn't they?
That's
and you
right.
were already designing the merchandise, the T-shirts, the wristbands, whatever, before you're established as a musical act. And this is what we still look back on and regard as Thatcher's Britain. Now, Soul to Soul, never an explicitly political outfit, but in a way, you're reflecting the politics of the times, aren't you there?
Yeah, because this name Thatcher, I thought it was a geezer at the time and everyone was going on about, you know, I thought, yeah, he's really helping us out. But basically, during that particular period, it helped to legitimise what we were doing.
So you mean you would have been happy to have been called a Thatcherite if you'd have known who she was?
It didn't even make a difference to us because where I lived, humbly in Finsbury Park, it made no difference whatsoever, trust me. Whether it was Ted Heath or Harold Heath, whatever his name was. But what was interesting is the times that we were going through. And during those times as well, it was very much the case of we were giving entertainment, so we saw ourselves as pleasure givers under whatever circumstances.
Did you always intend to then take it into the studio? Was there a master plan, a game plan, do you think?
Well, you know...
Or did it just evolve?
A sound system, you must make your own dubs. People
so that was always it. The idea, to be creating your own music, so you weren't just playing other people's music, you were actually raising the bar in that way.
Every sound system cut their specials and they cut their dubs, so most sound systems copy dubs. And they go on whatever the popular rhythm is at the time. We just went one stage further. Mm. And the rhythms that we were creating from the tackle that we had, it was more grooves. And those grooves, we would be able to play them in the dance. A vocalist will come on, or we would do our overlays on whatever that groove was. So everything from Martin Luther King's speech of I Had a Dream, as anyone who was coming to them early warehouse parties would remember that.
So how does Fair Play, because Fair Play was one of the tracks that really put you on the map musically. It was the first time that Soul to Soul then had a kind of a musical soundtrack mm-hmm. with which you could then sell your wares, I guess. But I mean, how did that start? Maybe you can give us a sense.
Shall
here.
I give you an I idea mean, we've got of how it started?
Yeah. All right, let's just move across then to the decks there, Jazzy. And you were starting out everything with beats initially then.
So what we were doing in those early days, it was just basically loops. Well, I would just run the loops on acetates, which are, some people call them dub plates or whatever. But I would go down to Pi Studios and play about with the cutting machine.
So this was the day job then? I mean, working in a studio at the time.
I was an assistant engineer. Basically, I was a T-boy.
Right.
And started off that way.
But learning the tricks of the trade.
Well,
there.
That's the only way you really learn is by shadowing the main engineer.
Right.
So, you know, I made the T and cleaned all the wind instruments, which, you know, is a pretty gross job, yeah. Getting rid of all the phlegm after a session. Yeah, it was interesting. But my cup of teas are magic, I tell you. I learned how to make tea. But what I would usually do in the night time when everybody was gone and they'd leave me with the keys, and then I'd end up with a loop or a dub plate like this. The musicians can join in and they give you an idea of where we were going. So here's the loop. So Simon, if we can get some chords on Fair Play. And then we bring the drums in. Then the bass. Wheel! That's basically how it would build up the tunes according to that, and just keep layering and layering and layering, and that's how it all started.
And you were road testing those tracks. You would then take that straight down to a club night, and you would play it for an audience and just gauge the reaction.
I mean, yeah, because we could tell from the audience if they was into the groove or not. Because a couple of them flopped big time, I'm telling you. Especially like when you're in the studio, you think to yourself, yeah, that sounds wicked. And then you go and you play it in the club and everyone's like, please.
So you got a pretty hard business head on as well. But at these club nights, there were just a sea of smiling faces. And then you had a mantra to go with that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
The happy face, the thumping bass, the loving race.
All the things that we know now about things like branding and all these other bits and pieces.
Yes.
For us, it was just something that organically grew from our funky dread hairstyle. We wore a hat. Because I live in a Christian house, you see, and if my mum would have saw my locks or anything like that, it was all over. But we used to shave the sides. So you put your hat on, you couldn't see the locks at the top. So my mum was never the wiser, neither was anyone else's mum. And things just sort of organically grew like that. Yatesy came up with the idea of the funky dread.
This is Derek Yates, illustrator.
He was that illustrator at the time, just drawing all the flyers and stuff like that.
It's got a rough and ready illustrations of this kind of mythical funky dread character.
Right.
And sort of based on a lot of those kind of old 1970s reggae albums that had almost DIY hand-drawn covers, didn't they?
And you know what was so incredible about that as well? Coming up with, when Yatesy came up with that idea, the weirdest thing about the image, we figured we were from a planet called Ard, spelled A-R-D, and we were sent down to Earth.
Oh, hang on, why Ard?
Because we're Ard.
Oh. You're from North London, so you're Ard.
We're from North London and we're Ard. And so we've been sent down to the planet as pleasure givers, and we're fighting against Rapatakas Bacchus, who's basically the council and the government trying to shut down the parties and things like that. So we're sent as these pleasure givers. And that's how the whole thing kind of started.
And it was always about pleasure and happiness. And that's why that mantra of the happy face, the loving race.
That's right. And even if you check all the lyrics, really it was Karen who kind of introduced me to more love song, kind of soppy things like that. But I was more into just like writing about just our experiences and trying to turn it around, because we did have a good few people following us at the time. And not that I felt, or any of us felt, a responsibility, because again, we were inclusive. But that was what was so interesting about Soul to Soul's journey, is because it was all of us. We were all part of the same thing. We were all pulling in the same direction.
It was always about getting everybody enjoying the same experience. And you try and, I mean, you bring together that mantra in the payoff line of one of the tracks on the album, On Jazzy's Groove. And this is music as a manifesto, really, isn't it? When you were setting out the ideals and the story very much of Soul to Soul in this track. Can you play us Jazzy's Groove now?
We'll do Jazzy's Groove. Sound system, an amalgamation of good dance music. What is two of us from the north and a few from the east?
For contractual reasons, we're unable to include complete songs in our downloads. But if you'd like to hear the full version of this and other songs recorded during the sessions, head to the Master Tapes pages at the Radio 4 website. So there it is, Jazzy. That is the story of Soul to Soul, the sound of Soul to Soul, and Soul to Soul in sound and vision, because that's the first time in an edition of Master Tapes when we've had dancing on the stage. This is the story, then, laid out. Yeah. And there's a point there where you say trust has always meant a lot to us. For us to stay together, one would make a decision and the rest would follow. Could anybody make a decision, or was that you being the benign dictator of the group?
You're putting it like that, yeah, I guess so, yeah. You know, again, it's a sound system mentality, because you usually the owner of the sound system, he wasn't, or she didn't play the sound. She was just the owner of it. So they were like the director. And I guess from our point of view, it was a little bit more multitasking. Mm. Most of the sound systems fell apart because, let's face it, if there are any other DJs or musicians in the room, 90% of it is about your ego. You know, everybody who does anything in entertainment, no matter how humble they want to be, the whole idea of it is like, you know, you're trying to get something out there. Do you know what I mean?
So there's never any question about it. You were the leader of this group.
Well, you have to follow the sound. That's the way it's set.
Yeah. And you mentioned there the Africa Centre, the centre of the world as it was at the time. And this is a place in Covent Garden in central London that you used to take over and used to stage clubs there. I think, on Sunday nights, wasn't it?
It was a Sunday night. It was a pretty intense session.
And very, very sweaty session.
Yeah, it was a throwdown.
You used to pack people in. I remember a couple of nights down
there.
And
I mean, sometimes the queue to get into the AC would go right round the block and that. And sometimes I would leave it like that for a good couple hours whilst I turned up the heating. Any good sound manager would understand why.
That's why we always left dripping with sweat.
But apart from that, you know, you set the tone, you set the atmosphere, and if anybody was at the Africa Centre, you'd remember what was very important about the Africa Centre. And it's the graphics. The drapes and beautiful artwork, which, again, this was all another form of expression.
So you set-dressed the place, in effect. You took it over and you made it feel like your home.
It had to be.
It wasn't
like
just a hired venue.
It was the Planet Ard. The whole idea, when you came to Soul to Soul session, you were transported into a different world.
So the first tracks associated with this album that were released that people would have heard were Fair Play, which we heard, putting together the way that you're assembling it there, and Keep On Moving, which kicks off the album. And that was the first track which really set you on the commercial course.
Like Mum used to say, you've got to take pigeon steps, you know, before you get out there.
But the biggest song associated with this album, the one that took you around the world, became a massive international hit, Back to Life. And yet the version that we hear on the album is not the single version. It was almost serving as an introduction to Jazzy's groove that we heard you play.
And it's more shenanigans.
An a cappella version of Back to Life, sung by Karen Wheeler.
That's right.
Karen, were you there in the studio, or do you arrive and does Jazzy say, I have a tune for you? Or how much of that melody and that original song comes from you?
This man here, Simon Law, and myself sat down at a piano.
Simon, who's playing keyboard?
Exactly, right? And said, well, look, we need to make this a little bit different. It was kind of a song that was very fast, very kind of upbeat. So they put us in this room, locked the door. Me and Simon worked it out.
Right.
But anyway, basically, I thought, no, let's slow it down.
You have clear memories of the making of Club Classics Volume 1.
Very, very much, yeah.
And was it a musical melting pot? Was it a matter of anybody who arrived in the studio having ideas, working them out in the studio, or was it all pre-planned?
Yeah, these were early days for me in the studio too, and just to have the opportunity to experiment and come up with ideas and put some grand piano on something. It was just like, whoa!
It was like our version of kind of like how we sort of imagined Motown to be, or Studio One, because we would go into a studio and we'd take over every room and every corridor. There would be somebody working in every single... anywhere you could plug in electricity, we had people in there. And it's true, you used to walk over people and say, who's that? And you wouldn't... there would be no roll check, no name check or anything, but people would just be there in abundance.
Yeah.
And what was important is that we were all like-minded people sharing in this dream and this idea of just making... most importantly, our style of music.
And just to get you back to Back to Life, and because we now associate that track with Soul to Soul, it's almost, your signature tune, but it wasn't made as a single. You didn't, no. Whereas you recorded it, no. You didn't think, this is the one, this is the hit, this is the song that's going to take us around the world.
After Karen and Simon had gone through the process, working out the melodies and that, because like Karen was saying, when we first did it, it was, again, it was a dub play, it was a disco tune. So we made it into an a cappella. The idea being that we would be able to split atoms so we could sell two records off of a one. So, you know, as a record collector, you bought
he's
versions.
He's always looking to maximise profit, though.
Yeah,
he's
because...
He's a businessman. It's very shrewd.
Very shrewd.
Well, what happened, you know, when you buy the tunes, and in reggae, you would have 15 versions of one song, right? So we made our own versions of tunes, you see me? So when you buy Club Classics Volume 1, you get the a cappella. Two for one. You up for that? Split it up. Give them an a cappella, cut the music side on the other bit. Any DJ knew that what we were doing, we were giving you the carte blanche rights to go and rinse this out.
Yes.
Do you know what
Sampled
I mean?
It.
Sample it to smithereens, make it work on every groove.
Just because it's getting the Soul to Soul name out
it's
there.
It's stamping out there. That's the biggest way of marketing
it. It becomes your calling
it's
card.
Still now there are like requests for that thing to be sampled. Yeah. Once, twice a month.
But because you'd already had experience of the business, Karen, and you'd been out and you'd been playing live and in the studio with other artists, you must have known instinctively, especially when you were going back in to re-record the single version of Back to Life, you must have had some idea that this was the one, that this was going to be the hit, did you?
No, I just did what I felt. I know. What we needed for me to make a real record for me was that we had to have a story. And the story needed a verse, two verses, and three verses, and whatever it needed to make it a full story and a nice rounded piece.
And what is the story that is told on this song, as far as you're concerned, then?
Back to life, back to reality. I really think that one of the beautiful things about music as well, you take on that message to mean whatever it needs to be to you. So whatever uplifting, help, great memories you have from that. Just the one part that the Americans went nuts about, which I love America for, yellow is the colour of sun rays.
Yeah.
That was from Keep On Moving.
That is from Keep On Moving. But listening to the album, I think there are several references to the weather throughout the album, aren't there? It's a very English thing.
Well, you see, again, as a sound man, most of the time we're up at a time when most people are just turning over and snoring. So we see the east coming before anybody else. We have an idea of what's happening with the weather.
Ah.
Most of us are just finishing our sessions at 4 or 5 in the morning.
So you would usually be seeing the sun coming up.
Yeah, we would be, us and the milkman, hand in hand.
And looking back now, Jazzy, how important, as I say, so many people associate this track with Soul to Soul, and it becomes a signature tune. But for you personally, how important was it? How significant is it that it was used in the Olympics, even?
That was, again, one of the great surprises and the beauties of this business sometimes. Second-guessing sometimes can be very, very dangerous. But equally so, you try your music out there and you hope people ingest it in the right way and enjoy it, and it leaves lasting memories for us all.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this first part of the programme. You're going to play us out with some more music. But for now, my thanks to Jazzy B, Karen Wheeler and Soul to Soul.
Thank you.
There's a lot more to discuss with Soul to Soul in the second part, the B-side. Our studio audience here at Maida Vale will be posing the questions. You can hear that tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 on Radio 4. This edition will be available to listen to and download via the Master Tapes pages at the Radio 4 website, where you can also see videos of some of the exclusive performances from this and previous series. And you can tweet about the programme using the hashtag #MasterTapes. But we leave you with Soul to Soul live at Maida Vale with Back to Life. Remember, you can find the full version of this and other songs recorded during our live sessions on the Master Tapes pages at the Radio 4 website, along with photographs, videos, and the other editions of the series. Show me how, decide what you want from me. Tell me maybe.
The goal was to make a pure Johnny Cash record.
BBC Radio 4 is thumbing through the back catalogue.
You could play a guitar solo of 10 minutes because people were actually listening.
Re-releasing the best music documentaries from the archive.
I could get in a band and nobody would dare mention, like, oh, she's okay for a girl. You just wouldn't say that in the punk thing.
It's like throwing down the glove and saying, if you really want me to sing to you, you're really going to have to shut up and listen.
Radio 4 on Music, the new weekly download.
You have to fight and you have to keep fighting and never stop.
Available now on the BBC Radio 4 website.